Hey, nurses. Welcome to the Nurse Dot Podcast, giving nurses validation, resources, and hope one episode at a time. Today on Nurse Dot Podcast.
You know, most people will not want to come and work in a nursing school when they can make sometimes twice as much in the clinical setting. And so that's something we have to bridge as well, that I hope through my dual role that we can actually create more dual roles so that we have our hospital staff being also faculty to be able to support that clinical mission.
Joining us today, Dr. Shakira Henderson, a powerhouse in nursing leadership and healthcare innovation. With over 20 years of experience, she's the first to simultaneously serve as Dean of the University of Florida College of Nursing and Chief Nurse Executive for UF Health. A trailblazing scholar and advocate, she's helping to redefine the future of healthcare. I'm your host, Kara Lunsford, registered nurse and VP of Community at nurse.com. Okay, you know what? On all of our correspondence and all of our internal dialogue and everything, everyone's like, Dean Henderson, Dean Henderson, Dean Henderson. And I was like, I almost wanted to call you Dean. But,
oh my goodness.
But it's Shakira. It's Shakira Henderson.
Yes! Isn't that more of a fun name?
Shakira's way more fun than Dean.
I thought so.
Well, I'm so happy that you're here with me today.
I am too. This is exciting.
It's very exciting. And there's something, I mean, I just really love talking about the new generation of nurses, the struggles that we're facing, because I think it's really, really important for people to understand. So I would like to first introduce you to our audience, Shakira Henderson. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, some of your history in this industry, and then we'll jump in.
I love it. So I always like to start with the obvious. I am originally from the Caribbean island of Dominica. So if you detect an accent, that's where it's from. But I always like to say Dominica is not Dominican Republic. Even though my name is Shakira, I can't dance or sing like her. I did live in Miami for 20 years, so I know the bad words in Spanish, but I don't fully speak Spanish. And that's why I became a nurse. I also like to share that I am a second career nurse. So I didn't actually start off in nursing. I wanted to be a mad scientist. And I love science until I realized the cells didn't talk back. And I'm a very social person. I love to talk to people. And I actually fell into nursing walking to my lab. And I looked up and I saw a poster that said nurse researcher. And I went, I can actually talk to people while I do research. So I did a little crazy thing. I was doing my master's of anatomy and my master's of public health. And then I enrolled in the accelerated nursing program. So 36 hours, very interesting time. I don't actually remember that time very well, but graduated with 3 degrees, including my nursing degree at the same time. So 2 masters and 1 undergraduate in 3 years. We will not talk about what happened in those 3 years, but here I am. And I ended up...
That's wild.
And I can tell you, I have no recollection of those 3 years.
I bet you don't. I bet you don't.
No recollection. And so I, of course, coming out as a new nurse, wanted to do neonatal. I wanted to be a NICU nurse so bad. And it's funny because I ended up as a new grad getting into NICU, but I got in because the entire night shift had quit. Now, in retrospect, I should have asked some questions, but I didn't. Lucky for me, it worked out. So I ended up getting into NICU. We were a great cohort, had a great entry into nursing. And I pretty much just, you know, went through the ranks, manager, became a nurse scientist of the hospital. So I achieved my little dream of being a nurse researcher. And then got recruited. All of this happened in Miami. Got recruited to North Carolina. That's how I know so much about rally drivers, and continued to do system nursing leadership there, and then ended my career in North Carolina actually doing a dual role. It looks like I love duality in my life, doing multiple degrees at once, doing multiple roles at once. I actually ended my career in North Carolina being the vice president for clinical research for UNC Health, and then also being the assistant vice chancellor for clinical research for UNC Chapel Hill. So always marrying the practice and the academic setting. And I think that's what recruited me down to UF Health, because I got the opportunity to be able to bridge nursing practice and academia, which nobody in the country right now is doing, but it's so needed. So currently I'm the Dean of the College of Nursing, but what's unique about my role is I'm also the System Chief Nurse Executive for UF Health. So much like medical schools, where the dean is the CEO of the hospital, we are trying to model that approach, where nursing, our largest group of healthcare professionals, can marry and have a professional home with the nursing school. So I came to Florida to be able to see this model out and really look at a pathway where we can have that integration in nursing. So I am super excited about the possibilities.
That is amazing.
I am excited, sink or swim, and but I'm excited.
It's so cool. And you know what's so funny is that, like, when you said you like duality, this is so fascinating, because I really want to dig into this a little bit more. I don't know how this actually relates, but so I went to school at LA County School of Nursing. So it was the Allied School of Nursing, and had been around since, oh boy, like the early 1900s, maybe the late 1800s. Yes. So for a very, very long time, they were graduating students. It started out where it was kind of like the diploma program type of thing. And that was how, you know, nurses moved through. And at the time, that was an associate's degree. But we did all of our nursing at county hospitals. So we were just basically connected to the hospital, and we had this relationship with the hospital. And even after we graduated, there was a lot of incentives around continuing to work for county, because they would do loan forgiveness and they would do all kinds. So it was a really, really great, they were invested in us and we were invested in them. And I thought, this is kind of how it should be. So tell me, like, how it relates. How does that kind of relate?
Oh my goodness, you have no idea how that resonates. You know, when they say the old becomes the new again, mm-hmm. I think, you know, where we're now seeing bell bottoms are coming back in.
I love bell bottoms.
So it's the same. I love bell bottoms. I just can't fit into mine, but I love it. But you know, one of the things that I will say is that exact model is being looked at again. I know for sure with our College of Nursing, one of the things that I have heard, not just with our college, but with new grads, is that they don't feel like they get enough practical experience. So we do a phenomenal job. Our NCLEX pass rates are 98%. My goodness, they have the knowledge. But, woo-hoo! And we're way above the national average. We've always been. That's phenomenal. But I cannot be naive in saying that our students are not saying that they want a little bit more hands-on experience. And, you know, the nice thing about my role as Assistant Chief Nurse Executive, I get the opportunity to hear from students from all different schools when they start in the hospital. And what we're realizing is that, yes, we're training nurses in a nursing school. We're giving them the didactic. That's fantastic. But they're not getting as much practical hands-on experiences for multiple reasons. I think we have to look at that model as well. And so when they come into the hospital, we technically have to train them what it's like to be a nurse in real life, so to speak. And it's a steep learning curve for them. And what we're seeing is that our nurses, who used to turn over in 2 years, are turning over in their first year, because it's not what they... they didn't expect some of the challenges that they are experiencing. One, maybe because they don't feel as skilled. It's a very complex healthcare system. They probably didn't have practicums in such complex areas, and now they're expected to be able to do that. They may not have nurse residency programs. So there's so many factors that face our new nurses that I, quite frankly, and yourself might not have been able to face. So being able to be more connected with our hospitals so that they can have more hands-on training, we can have nurse residencies, is a model that I think we have to look for in the future. Because we're doing a great job with NCLEX. I think we have a roadmap as to how to train our nurses with didactic. We are struggling in the clinical area because our nurses are not coming out to be practice ready. As practice ready as we would like them to be. And that's what we're seeing, you know, in the hospitals. And now we have to spend money to train them, which is, you know, interesting.
And that's, you know, so when I think about like 17 years ago, when I think about what my experience was, when I graduated from nursing school, and I talk to new nurses about this. I say, you know, when I was in my fourth semester of nursing school, I would go to county, and I am not joking. Those county nurses would hand me six charts, like actual charts, not on a computer, six charts. And they were like, good luck. And they would leave. And I would, and by my fourth semester, I was taking care of six sick patients, okay? Diabetes, D&Ts, like, you know, any, because this is county. You know, these people have disease progression to the nth degree. You know, because they don't come to county until their leg is falling off.
That is wow.
You know, it's like it started out as a splinter and now it's staph, you know, and it's all the way up the leg. So because they can't afford to miss work, they can't afford to. So they don't come in until the literally, you know, it's really, really bad. You've got metastasized cancer, you've got, like, you know, all of this stuff. So when I was having to learn how to read through these charts, because I had to read the writing, it wasn't printed, it wasn't in a computer screen, I had to spend time actually reading the charts, reading the orders, and then going and actually doing the work and having my clinical instructor come up and do rounds with us. But by that point, we were responsible for those patients. And then we would give report at 3 o'clock to the nurse who basically came back and was like, all right, so how'd it go? And that was it. And then I went to work for Children's Hospital Los Angeles, and I had the luxury of a residency program. So I had all that experience, and then I went to the, and so I felt like a very competent nurse and stayed at Children's for 8 years before I moved on to doing other things. And so I really think that this is so incredibly important to the sustainability of this profession. Like, if you're going to talk about retention, you're just,
I agree. And, you know, it's funny because on Friday, just last Friday, we had a symposium with multiple deans and some clinical partners about this. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of pushback we got from your story. One of the deans stood up and said, we need to stop talking about nursing of the past, because nursing of today is completely different than nursing of the past in terms of complexity. You know, I agree with that to some extent, but I also have to push back on that because I actually do not think that our practical preparation is actually adequate enough for nurses today. And I'm going to give you a nice example that I actually shared with them. I did the keynote. I said to them, let's look at pilot training. So we took simulation from pilot training, if you remember, and we infused it into healthcare. Fantastic. So let's look at a pilot and the training for a pilot. And I put up all of the training. I've looked up all the training for the pilot. So one of the things I noticed is that they don't just learn how to fly a plane. They actually have to know weather. They have to know about the engines. They have to know about the airport. They have to know about all these things in order to be a pilot. And that's their didactic. And then they have training. Now, let's talk about new nurses, because they said, oh, let's not talk about, you know, a time back in nursing when we had paper charts. That is, it is way more of a complex environment. I said, point taken. And I put up a picture of current state, very complex. But we don't actually teach our students to be infused in that. Our students come in and they may have a few hours here and there, 12 hours if they're lucky, the opportunity to do some practical things if they're lucky, if the nurse allows. But yet they're in a complex environment where they have to know about nutrition, environmental, pharmacy, but we don't actually train them to be able to understand how all of these different areas actually intersect. When was the last time nursing students went to a lab, went to pharmacy, went to biomedical, went to supply chain? And then we say, their nurse graduate and go into a hospital which you didn't spend as much time as you needed to or had practical experience. And we're saying, collaborate with all of these allied health professionals, and you should know what to do because you're the nurse and you are the center and you're the facilitator.
Yep.
But we don't do that with any other profession. And then I'm going to be a little controversial, just a little controversial. I also pulled up medicine, and I said to them, we are saying, okay, with the NCLEX, you're ready to practice. Well, when you pull up the physicians, and we can do the same for the nurse practitioners because they have a didactic exam as well. Physicians spend 15 minutes at most with patients. We spend the most hours with patients at 1,750 plus hours a week. We have a didactic exam. They have a three-step exam that includes assessment of their practical. So how does that work? And I know I'm going to get, you know, a lot of pushback and fire for this, but are we really setting up our new nurses for success? More complex healthcare, less clinical hours, only a didactic exam. What are we doing? And then we sit and we say, oh my God, we have a nursing shortage. Our nurses are living in the first year. Well, they will. And the other thing I said to them, I said, you know, for a very long time, I didn't understand why we called nursing frontline workers. Well, let's think about this. Workplace violence is really off the chain right now. We heard about the West Palm nurse, Leela Lal. So I'm a new nurse coming in. I just saw Leela Lal. All of her bones in her face are broken and she potentially might be blind. Then COVID, I remember when COVID came, and guess who was the first healthcare professional who got it? The nurse. Let's go back to Ebola. I remember on the news, everybody said the physicians are taking care of Ebola. But guess who got Ebola? The first healthcare professional, a nurse. So when we say frontline, is it because we're fighting a war? Is it combat? Because it sure feels like it. And how are we preparing?
Just exposure. Right?
How are we preparing our new nurses to deal with that environment? What part of that is part of our NCLEX curriculum? And so, you know, there are a lot of things I think we can do to be able to support our nurses to be prepared so that they stay. And that it starts with looking at how we train. Yes, the didactic is great, but we need more practical hours and we need more of what I call the hidden curriculum. How do we teach them resilience? How do we teach them how to take care of themselves? And then I'm going to put a little bit of onus on the hospitals. And I was very unprovocative in saying this. Who is to say that we shouldn't be sleeping all night? I don't know. Who said that? If we're supposed to be about wellness, why does it feel like healthcare is the most unhealthy on the list care?
Yeah.
So, you know.
I just interviewed somebody who is has their PhD in sleep study and at University of Washington. And we talked about night shift nurses, We talked about sleep hygiene. We talked about all of these things. And yes, why shouldn't there be a place where you can take that 20-minute power nap? Because it's healthy for you and it's safe. It's safe for the patients.
So what are we doing? We're saying, okay, we're going to kill our nurses so that we can have 24-hour coverage. I just think that, you know, and this is my new term, we need to change the prescription in nursing. It's time. It's not working. So
it's not working. And you are 100. This is such a powerful conversation. I've talked to, I don't even know how many people. I've interviewed so many people. And honestly, I feel like many times there's all this kind of dancing around. We dance around it and we dance around. And I'm like you. I'm a very like, let's call it like it is. This is not working, okay? And you can say, well, let's not go to the past or let's not do this or let's not. But here's the thing. Let's take from the past what worked.
What worked exactly.
And then you add in components so that you are in the 21st century and you say, hey, we've got AI. We've got virtual reality. Mm-hmm. We've got, you know, and yes, no one should have to read through, you know, handwritten charts. And that's not a good use of we shouldn't go back to that. Right. Like there, imagine how many mistakes were made just because you couldn't, the writing wasn't legible, you know? So we don't go back to things like that didn't work. But you exposure, you have to know what job you're getting into. And I don't know why, I don't know if it's liability. I don't know if it's mainly that the hospitals are like, look, we're going to lose our nurses if they're forced to train these new nurses. So we don't want them to have to train or be responsible for these students. And what if the student does something wrong? Who's responsible for that? The licensed nurse who's there? I think sometimes it goes back to fear, right? Liability. And that has really restricted us in so many ways, because guess what? That liability is coming one way or another. Okay. You either train the nurse, or if you don't train the nurse, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be an error.
Exactly.
There's going to be an error. One way or the other, you're getting liability.
You know what I've heard? I'm not sure. I know that we have liability coverage. I think that the nurses are burnt out, for lack of a better word, and they see sometimes students as an extra. And so I think we have to start thinking about, in the hospital, we have AI, we have new technology. How do we unload the nurse from all of the tasks that they have to do? Documentation being one of it. I understand that 40 to 60% of a nurse's time is in documentation. So how do we unburden them with AI? And I know there's ambient technologies coming where you can talk and it automatically charts. But what some folks are finding is that the going back and editing that is actually the same amount of time you would take to chart it. So I think the future is bright with, you know, adding AI and technology. But we also have to think about, how do we unburden the nurse? Because right now I think we've reached a nexus of, our nurses have so many different tasks and things that they're doing that, to your point, they now cannot, they don't feel like they can take on a student.
Yeah. And you have to incentivize people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that it's been, do you remember that saying, like, Mikey will eat it? You know, as you're talking about the cereal. And I'm aging myself just by saying that.
I should have said, I don't know what you're talking about.
You should have been like, I have no idea what you're talking about, Kara. Who's Mikey? That's what you should have said.
I should have said, it's Mikey.
So if you don't know who that is, you can go look it up. But the thing is that I think for a long time, it's like, well, the nurse will do it. The nurse will do it. Mm-hmm. The nurse will do it. The nurse will do it. So it's like, oh, who's going to handle dietary stuff? Oh, don't worry. Well, the nurse will do it. And oh, housekeeping? Let the nurse do it. You know, so anytime they needed to add something, that's what they did. They did it to the nurses. So of course, at some point, and I think nurses actually love to teach. I think they love to educate. That's what we're born to do. Yeah, I think we love it. It's just that we don't love it when we have so many other things that have been added to our plate. We're not incentivized. It's not like, hey, you're going to teach today. So we're going to like minimize your patient load. You're only going to have this many patients so that your load is minimized so that you have the time to teach. And we're also going to say, like, you know, anything else that you would have to do today that is not entirely necessary, if it's a training or a this or a that, you don't do it. You don't have to do anything that's not absolutely necessary. Your focus is really to train and to make sure that you have safe patient care. That's it.
Let's talk about that, because, you know, one of the elephants in the room is that we are not directly paid. Or the hospital, I should say, is not directly paid, or healthcare systems, clinics, care settings are not directly paid for nursing care. So if we know that one of the prime roles is teaching, and we know that if we educate patients, and I'm not saying that education is the only piece that will support them to do better after they leave the hospital or after they leave the clinics, but we know that spending time with patients and making sure they understand what they need to do can make a difference.
Yep.
So how do we actually push for nurses to be reimbursed on nursing care, to be reimbursed like the physicians? Because we
do you know have you listened to Rebecca Love? Did you
yes.
listen?
Yes. And so this is, yes. you know, this is something I've been saying for decades. So I'm excited to see that. It is imperative. But you know, one of the things I have told folks, it's okay for us to talk about it, but we actually need to get models that are willing to try it. And so yeah. I think that is a huge barrier or opportunity. I am sure that, you know, a bunch of CNOs can get together and we can try, you know, potentially looking at nurse reimbursement and what that
so
could look like.
So you would have to get the buy-in from insurance carriers, correct?
Exactly.
I mean, so that's where you really have to get the buy-in.
Yes.
It could be a really compelling case, you know, if you could just pilot it and show that, hey, you know, this is beneficial for the insurance companies too. You're going to actually save money, and we can show you that you can save money in these other areas by making sure that, like, these, because it's the health of the healthcare system, right? Like, you need to have a healthy healthcare system in order to be able to provide, you know, good quality patient care. And everyone needs to kind of win, right?
Yes, exactly, which is the point.
Yeah, we are a capitalist nation, right? So this is
a
business. Yeah, and we can try to, like, I'm very altruistic, and I love to be able to see how, hey, if a business can thrive, so can everyone that works for that business and the people that are affected by that business. And I think that's a good model. Then you can't have greed, right? Greed ruins all of that.
Everything.
Greed ruins everything. It's like somebody's trying to take too much and not give back, right? Not give into the system. So, I mean, I think right here we're saying to the payers.
Work with us.
Work with us. Buy into this model.
And it will actually help with quality, because we know that the nurses spend the most time with the patient. And so everything will work really seamlessly. And for the insurers, they will have patients who are more compliant because they have education. And I'm going to get a little controversial again, Carol. I also think that we have to do the work in nursing, because here's what the insurers are going to come back and tell us. What's the definition of a nurse? Is it an LPN? Is it an RN? Is it an RN with a BSN? Is it an RN with an MSN? Is it an RN with a PhD? What is it a CNA? Like, what is exactly a nurse? So I don't want to push it off on the hospitals and the insurance companies. I also want to call on nursing to say, we have to do a little bit of cleaning up ourselves. And I'm not making any recommendations as to what that looks like, but I just want to offer this. When you talk about a physician, everybody knows that's an MD. There's no multiple layers. So when you talk about payers paying, the payers want to know what they're paying. And, you know, so we have to think about that as well. We have to do a little bit of work.
If you're an experienced nurse looking for your next move, Harris Health in Houston might be exactly what you're looking for. Harris Health is a public, integrated healthcare system serving communities across Greater Houston. With opportunities in hospitals, community health centers, specialty clinics, correctional health, and more, what stands out is how much they invest in nurses. Harris Health offers great benefits, relocation assistance, support for advanced skills and certifications, and student loan repayment assistance starting on day one. Correctional health nurses may also qualify for higher pay structure and a $25,000 retention bonus. If you're ready to grow your career in a place where nurses are valued and supported, visit jobs.harrishealth.org today.
Let's imagine it for a second. Okay, let's play out that scenario, right? So let's say, you know, based off of what I've learned from Rebecca Love, Commission for Nurse Reimbursement, I interviewed her a while back. It was a great interview.
I have to go back and listen to that.
Oh, I love it. I love her. She speaks a mile a minute, so you have to slow her down at half the speed just to pick up everything she's saying.
I'm going to go listen to it.
She speaks. I don't know how fast her brain runs, but her mouth is able to keep up. She is. She's totally passionate, but it's fascinating, right? So, but if we play out the scenario, right, and we say that the hospital should not have to see nursing as a cost to them, right?
Exactly.
That there should be a benefit to them, okay? And so let's say, for example, you've got a floor with, let's say, 10 nurses, okay? And it's a 50-bed floor. Okay, there's 50 beds on the floor. We're just going to pretend. Yeah. Okay, maybe this is a skilled nursing facility. It's awfully big. I just moved from acute.
The floors are big nowadays. So
some of them
are. Yeah,
some of them are. Okay, so I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, well, I wasn't on a floor that was that big. But for the sake of dividing, I'm trying to divide well is what I'm trying to do, actually. So I'm going to say, like, there's about five patients to every nurse, right? Okay, that's the ratio. And so, but let's say, for example, that we are adopting having more LVNs in the acute care space, because that is something that I think is it. We're moving in that direction a little bit more.
Yes.
I like it. I personally love team nursing.
I know that's what works.
It works. I think it really works well, and it really divides those areas. It's more collaborative. There's a lot of talking, obviously, that has to happen. You need to be communicating about a patient's need and making sure there's that division of care, and that it's, you know, all of that communication is going back up to the registered nurse so that they can case manage and they can care plan and they can communicate with. So. But let's say, for example, that you have a few LVNs on the floor, right? And so you're dividing up that care a little bit. How do you imagine that it would work in terms of how you would bill for that? Like, how do you picture it?
We actually already have a model for that. You know, one of the things that I always try not to do is reinvent the wheel. Think about it. We already have a model for that. We have nurse practitioners who work with physicians. And so we technically already have a model for here's an RN and here's an LPN, and they're working together much like an MD and a nurse practitioner. And there are two ways that sometimes that happens. Sometimes the RN is the one that bills. Sometimes the nurse practitioner can bill, and then the MD comes around and co-signs on it. So we technically have a model that we could potentially use.
Yes.
And it exists, and it's in the system, and it's, you know, it's a potential to be able to have it to use.
Yeah.
And you know what? I have never thought about that like that before. Carrie, you're incredible. Because
welcome to our interviewing process.
Oh my goodness. I don't know that we've ever thought about it like that. I have been thinking, how on earth are we going to define nurse? But it means that we also have to define all the levels of care and be able to have a model as to how that billing should work.
Yep.
But when you think about nurse practitioners, PAs, and physicians, that model already exists.
You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right. And you know what? Honestly, I hadn't thought about it. You were literally creating that as we were having this conversation.
And I'm thinking, wait a minute. This exists.
Yeah,
oh,
you created
goodness.
It like right here. You just manifested
yes.
it.
Yeah, we're going to have to patent it.
I think it's such a great, because I believe that there's so many things that already exist. And you just have to figure out how you can rework things.
Yes.
And like you said, it's already happened, right? Like there's nurse anesthetists.
Yes,
there's nurse anesthetists and there's
anesthesiologists. That's
yeah.
what it exists.
It exists. And so I imagine
goodness.
That it can't be that difficult to really just have that trickle down a little further into, and maybe it just trickles down to LVN. I mean, maybe
right,
that's the
right.
way it
and
works.
Maybe that's
and
it.
And that's okay. And that's a good place to start.
And that's a good established, you know, we most people may have or may not have, but that's a good basis.
It is a good basis. And so it would be so compelling to be able to take that model and say, look, we're just going to take what we know already works and break it down to these other subspecialties, these other licenses, and see what could happen.
I love that.
Maybe I need to connect you with Rebecca Love. The two of you are going to make this happen.
Oh my goodness. I know what I'm thinking, though. You know, one of the things I guess critiques might say is, where's the money going to come from? But when we think about the gains in quality of care, the gains in decreasing mortality, readmission, decreasing length of stay, we have been going at these nurse-sensitive indicators and these quality indicators for years. At what point, you know, for myself, I sit in board meetings and I'm like, every day, CAUTI, CLABSI, mortality. When are we going to get it to the point where these things exist, but they're not a problem? And that might be it.
You have to show it's profitable, right? Like
the only
way forward, and it saddens me to say this, because I wish it was like, oh, this institution has the best outcomes, or this institution has the best outcomes and the best retention of their staff, and that was literally the benchmark for what, you know, what is considered like the gold standard. This is what we should be aiming for. Unfortunately, it's all those things, and are you in the black?
Right. And here's another thing to consider. What a lovely way to show value to nurses than to have them have their own reimbursement instead of coming in with the bed.
Yeah. Instead of feeling like you're a cost to the system.
Right.
It already makes you feel devalued in
yes.
a way. And it's like, how can I instead of how can we utilize you in all of these wonderful ways because that's beneficial to us, it's kind of like how we end up prioritizing these really amazing surgeons, right? Like you bring in the best of the best surgeon, and what do we think? We think, well, you bring in the best of the best surgeon, then we're going to get all of these patients that want to come to our institution to get that cardiothoracic, that open heart surgery, or to get, you know, because they know that those surgeons bring money with them. So if suddenly people were flooding to your hospital because you had the best nurses, because because you knew that you were going to get exceptional nursing care, 5-star nursing care. Right.
Remember, the nurse spends the most time with you.
People
would definitely go there.
Yeah. People would travel, right? Like my wife asked me the other day, if something happened to our son, where do I take him? And I'm like, well, you take him to Children's Hospital. That's where you take him. You know, and I said, unless it was an emergency, you have to call 911, then they take to the most local hospital. But I was like, you take him there because that's where he's going to get the best care as a child. So
I'm going to be honest with you. Everybody has the hospital they want to be taken to.
Yep.
It's funny you said that because my husband said the same thing. He's like, if something happens to me, take me to X. Everybody has those hospitals. And why? It's because of the care.
It's because of the care. It's because I would say number one thing people, well, I'll say a couple of things. Because I have someone in my family, right, who has had to go through the healthcare system quite a bit and loves UCLA, loves UCLA. And if you ask him, the first thing he'll tell you is the food. That's actually the first thing. That's the first thing he'll say. He'll say, I love the food there. They give me a menu. I can choose from the menu what I want. Somebody just doesn't bring me in what is there for the day. And the food is really good quality. And then the very second thing he'll say is that the nurses all seem like they want to be there.
Oh, that's scary, Kara. I thought you were going to say the nurses are nice. So what you're telling me is that our patients are now perceiving whether we love our job or not.
Yep.
That's very different for nursing.
Yep. Yeah. And that's what he will say. He'll say that he says it really seems like they love where they work. Seems like they love their job. And I feel that when I'm there.
Wow.
But that all ties back to everything that you said, even in the beginning, is about where you start. As a student, there's no way you're going to love your job if it's so stressful and you feel like you're constantly gambling your license and the lives of other people and the safety of other people. There's no way that you're ever going to be able to love that.
And you know what's interesting? And I think you probably felt the same way. You never feel fully prepared, but you should never feel so much fear that you're unable to continue.
Right.
And that's unfortunately where we are for a lot of people today.
Yeah.
And it's a sad day for nursing, but it's a great opportunity for educators and practitioners to be able to come together and try to solve this.
Yeah, to make real change. And I really think that you're on to something. And I love what you're doing to really change this ecosystem.
We have to. I don't actually feel like it's an episode of Survivor. We have to do it. Otherwise, we're going to lose a whole generation of nurses.
Yes. Yes.
And that is very scary.
And we lost a lot of senior nurses during COVID.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So we had this mass exodus of people who were like, I was close to retiring. Now, guess what? I'm out. It's not worth it. I don't want to do this. I'm not a canary in the coal mine. I don't want to do it.
Right.
So not only like when I was a new nurse, I came in and I had people around me that had 20 years, 30 years, 40 years of experience. When I was freaking out about something, I had, you know, I had Tommy Covington, this amazing nurse who'd been at Children's for 40 years and started in the Navy. And I just remember him putting his hand on me and he's just like, it's going to be okay. It's not the end of the world. You forgot to do that, you know, that flush after the, you know, he's like, it's okay. It's okay. Not the end of the world. And I, my, you know,
I've been here 40 years. I know.
Yeah. You're like, all of a sudden your nervous system just settles. You're relaxed. You're like, okay, it's going to be all right.
Maybe.
I got this. Maybe. And it's so true, but right now it's the blind leading the blind, right? A lot of that.
It's just fascinating to me because I came in, I always say it's the golden years, and I know I get pushback on that too, but I came into nursing where it was actually hard to find a job because there were so many nurses. I even remember I worked for this one healthcare system that had given 150 nursing scholarships, and they did not have positions for them. And so they brought them into this big conference room, and I'll never forget it. And I was working for the healthcare system, and they said, you have a free nursing degree, because there were no positions for them. I know it's hard to believe now, because we're facing such a tragic nursing shortage, but that's when I came into nursing. And so to think between now and then what happened is devastating.
And we're not getting enough educators either, right?
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
So that's the other side of it.
So many factors. You know, most people will not want to come and work in a nursing school when they can make sometimes twice as much in the clinical setting. And so that's something we have to bridge as well, that I hope through my dual role that we can actually create more dual roles so that we have our hospital staff being also faculty to be able to support that clinical mission. And again, it's what you said in the beginning, Kara, our students will feel like they have a home. They're not just a student, they're coming in and they are part of UF Health. And they will build that connection while in school so that they can feel more connected and more grounded when they graduate. Yep. So it makes me feel like the old is becoming the new again.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be amazing if UF Health was saying to their nursing students, we'll also give you health care while you're in nursing school?
Oh my goodness. So here, that is a novel idea. We do give scholarships, but
what if you had healthcare? What if you had healthcare? What if you could come and feel like I can get, you know, my primary care?
Now you are onto something.
I think we're onto something. See,
yes,
this is what I love
that.
Kara, you know, it's so amazing.
I've never heard that idea before, and I love it. I'm going to credit you with it if I steal it.
You can totally steal it. It's all yours.
I'm going to credit you. I'm going to say, Kara, this is the Kara Care model.
This is the Kara Care model. Kara Care.
I'll just, the C squared. I'll name it after you.
Thank you. Well, you know, it was so funny because when we were, when I was initially talking to Aaron Lay, who made this introduction and all this stuff, and he's so lovely. And he said, I hope you don't mind, but I gave them a list of questions that I think that you'll probably touch on. And I said, oh, Aaron, you don't know how I work at all, do you?
And I am a conversationalist. So they're probably, my people were like, oh no.
I was like,
so it was a deadly connection.
It's a fly by the seat of your pants type of experience.
I don't even think they sent it to me because they know we will go with the topic at hand.
We're not going to follow. I told him, I said, first of all, and you'll probably find this interesting, I never research the people that I'm going to interview. I know your name and I know where you work. I don't know anything else about you because I really love to, and I've said this before on other episodes, I love to be pleasantly surprised. I love to listen and hear what you're saying and start to discover ideas while we're here. You know, let it just unfold naturally.
Oh my gosh, what great ideas we had today, Kara.
We had amazing ideas.
Writing it down.
No, I think I'm going to go
to UF Health and ask them.
You should.
You have created a monster here.
I know. But imagine you could probably recruit so many new nurses with certain models.
Yes.
Like if you were to say, hey, how do we differentiate ourselves in this market? How do we bring people in to want to come to UF? Right.
And, you know, and what's important to them?
Yeah.
Because it may not be scholarships, because maybe they can get, you know, grant funding. It may be, to your point, health insurance. It may be rent. It may be food. I mean, there's
so many things we've not thought about. Think about the travel nurse expense, right? We know how much it costs to bring in travel nurses. We know what travel nurses are looking for. They're looking for stipends. So they're looking for all these things. And they're saying, well, who's going to give me the better X, right? So I think that maybe if we do the math, right, and we say, how much can we put in? And what will it yield for us? And then if they do, then we say, okay, you come and you work for us. You commit an X amount of years because we've committed to you. So now pay it back. You come for X number of years. And the likelihood is that many of them will probably stay.
Yes, I agree to that. And, you know, it's really funny to think about that. I mean, that is such a novel idea, Kara, to think about how do we design it in a way that meets the specific need of the student, that allows us to be able to build and connect with that commitment. And one thing I will say is that because we're in such a global world, look at me, a Dominican as the dean of the College of Nursing, we're global. Yeah. We also have to accept that our nurses will leave if they, you know, at 2-3 years, because the world is also not what it used to be. I heard New Zealand is now accepting our license. I don't know how true that is, but there's so much more opportunity now for our nurses, and there's so much more mobility. But how can we keep nurses at least for 2-3 years and build an environment that they want to stay, but also be open to the fact that they may travel. I mean, they may want to travel. I mean, we shouldn't be so upset about that. That is,
we're
in a global world. Yes,
you have to feed their soul. So maybe what it is that you come, maybe there's childcare, right? Or there's a stipend for childcare. Maybe there's some sort of flexible schedule. Maybe every year you get to do some sort of mission trip if you choose
that
to do it.
Spoke about that. I love that because that's so important. So
you have to feed the soul.
The year of the month get to go. Yes.
You get to feed your soul. You have to.
Kara.
But that's how people stay, right? Because I actually heard about a place once that did dry cleaning for their nurses. Yeah.
That is amazing.
All you had to do was bring your clothes, you drop them in a bag, you would come back and your clothes were done.
And you know what's funny? We do that for the surgical areas. You ever think about that? And labor and delivery.
Yep.
So what's stopping us from doing it for all?
Yeah. That you could, because it's about little things that actually make a difference. You know, there's these food delivery services, right? If you're working all the time and we're still a female dominated industry, there's things like Home Chef, right? Where Home Chef, like you know, you work partnerships with these different companies that will do food delivery for you. How great would it be if you were going to UF and it's like, well, if I go to UF, not only do I've got food delivery, I've got some laundry. They give me a stipend for even housekeeping if I want to use it for that. There's things that you could really incentivize.
And you know what? That now gets to healthy and caring.
Yes. Yes.
I love that.
Then you feel cared about.
Then you feel cared about, and it helps you to be more healthy. because your well-being is being is being fed.
Yep. Free food in the cafeteria, right? Free food in the cafeteria. Like when
we
you're working.
We know some folks who do get free food. I won't call any names in some systems.
I know, but see, like the nurses are hardly ever going to take advantage of it because they rarely take their break.
They rarely take their break, but you should still give it to them. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
Cara.
I don't know. We're going to do it. We're going to do
it. You're giving me some ideas, and I'm going to, I'll get back to you. I'm like, Cara, guess what?
I cannot wait to hear what you do with this.
I am super excited.
And I'm so excited. And I can't wait to introduce you. Like, if you haven't met Rebecca Love,
have you ever met her?
Oh,
no.
I'll introduce you. I'll introduce you.
Oh, my God. You have to.
She's amazing. Well, this is there anything else that you would like to make sure you say?
I the only thing I like to say is that, and I say this all the time, nurses are never at the table, but we're always on the menu. So I am going to ask our nurses to just pull up a folding chair to the table if you're not invited.
I love that.
Because we're always... we're never invited to the table, just like we're not invited to the reimbursement table, but we're on the menu. So, you know, pull up a folding chair.
I love that. That's such a great end to this really beautiful and incredible conversation. I feel so blessed to and fortunate and everything to have been able to sit here and have this wonderful conversation with you, Shakira.
It is Dido. Thank you, Cara, for just inviting me to this awesome space. It's not a lot of times as nurse leaders, we get the time to just sit and converse and really come up with some ideas. So I am even more grateful to you because this has been food for my soul.
Oh, That is the biggest compliment ever, and it's why I do what I do, and I absolutely love hosting this podcast, and so that is just such a huge compliment. So thank you so much. You spent a whole hour with me.
Yes, and it went by so quickly. You know when you're having fun,
right? When you're having fun. Well, thank you so much. I cannot wait to hear more about what you end up doing and anything that we can do to help at nurse.com. Please do not hesitate to ask.
I am going to be sending your outcomes. I'm like, Cara, look what we just said.
I can't wait. Thank you again. Have a wonderful rest of your week.
Awesome. It was so nice meeting you. Take care, okay?
Take care.
If you're a nurse or nursing student that enjoyed this episode, visit us at nurse.com/community, where you can find the NurseDot discussion group, a place where we dissect each episode in detail and delve deeper into today's topics. NurseDot is a nurse.com original podcast series. Production, music, and sound editing by Dawn Lunsford. Production coordination by Rhea Wade. Additional editing by John Wells. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in to the NurseDot podcast. Until next time, keep spreading the love and the care.